All right, everybody. We already know the drill. We've done it the past 2 nights. This is our last night here. You see, I didn't have to say anything. You guys are walking up. This is amazing, right? Adults, if you want to come join the kids down here for a little dance party, you're more than welcome. I know you guys weren't here the last 2 nights, but you adults can come down too. It's our last night with you guys, so we just want to be able to worship, have a lot of fun. All right, let's do it for God. All right, let's sing it out. We have another word. Come on.
And I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah. I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. All because of you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm clean. Sin was stained on me. Shame was running deep. But love was filled on Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, I'm free. God, how can it be? I'm ransomed and redeemed. I'm standing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I've been good as you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. What I have done, but what you've done for me, made it all of that free. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. Love has overcome. Mercy is so free. I'm dancing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah.
Come on, we know this part.
Because you took away my sin.
Come on, scream it out,
and you nailed it.
Come on.
You got me running out. Oh, hallelujah, here I come.
Come on.
Cause you took away my shame. And you nailed it to the cross. You got me running out the grave. Oh, hallelujah, here I come. Oh, you took it away. Cause you took away my shame. Away my shame. Woo. And you nailed it to the cross.
Wow,
you got me running.
Those are such strong words.
Hallelujah, here I come. Cause you took away my shame. Cause you took away. And you nailed it to the cross.
Come on.
You got me running. Not walking, not galloping.
Let's give a hand out to God, a hand out to God. Amen, amen. Before you guys take off the stage, can we just get your name and how old you are?
My name's Gama. I'm 19 years old.
My name's Ryan. I'm also 19 years old.
I'm 19 too.
My name is Lily. I'm 18 years old.
I'm Will, I'm 15 years old.
I'm Mathen, and I'm 15.
Like, I'm no math guy, but the app is 16.8 or something like that. That's amazing. Let's give him praise. All right, we have a couple announcements tonight here. There's not too much out of the ordinary. If you can go to the next one for me. Tonight is our healing service. So please be aware, if you haven't already, you can get the communion package. It will be at the sides and the back of the... Oh, and Chris has it. Chris, could you just point up there? So, Chris, if you need one, see Chris, or go to the sides or go to the ends. President Schaefer will be leading us in our communion and then our healing time. For our healing service, we're at the end tonight, and if you would like to be prayed for healing, we're going to have groups stationed at the edges. You'll see them. They'll have the oil. There'll be a pair or a couple, should I say. Just feel, go right up and just don't let anything stop you from desiring to allow Jesus to do what he does so best, being a healer. So, but I'll let Jonathan bring that here in a little bit. All right, go to the next one. Water activities. We have the dunk tank going today. Remember, who was in the dunk tank? Let me see. Amazing. We thought it was just going to be like me and Zach, like, and the kids were going to throw the ball. The kids were like, we're going to the dunk tank. So it was amazing. So the slide's still going. So that's the slide's not going anywhere. That'll still be here tomorrow. All right, go to the next one. Our morning prayer. Please join us for our last night, if you'd like to, or last morning of our morning prayer here at 7:30. Keep going there for me. All right, so we have a special going on there with our Snack Shack tonight. They have the mango slushies and walking tacos are $4. So if you're hungry, $4. And where are you going to get that? Sounds like a great deal. Right, April? Right. See, there you go. All right, let's keep going. Keep going. Give me the next one there. If you have it. There you go. Ira Towns, his last Bible hour is tomorrow. Ira, you've been doing, knocked it out of the park, brother. Thank you. Keep going. Go to the next one for me, guys. Thank you. Jonathan Schaefer's here. We're so glad to have our CMA president here. Talk about amazing, down-to-earth, just amazing guy. So, Jonathan, thank you. Just nice getting to know you. Keep going. All right. Nope, that's old news. Evening speaker is Pete Brocka. Please be aware, there's our dates. Put that in your phone for Family Camp 2027. So, Jen. It's through the 24th. Sorry, that was me. It's the 24th. Anyway, it starts on July 17th, right? There you go. So the week starting July, that's the Saturday. All right, so Saturday the 17th all the way to the 24th. That's a Friday. Put it in your calendar. So the next Peak Rockup, that's our evening speaker. Our morning Bible hour speaker will be Frank Chan. Go ahead, go to the next one for me. We're thinking about just putting F Chan, so people think Francis Chan is coming. But that's not going to work. But anyway, you're getting, if not better, Bible Hour speaker. Frank Chan is fantastic. Amazing friend, and great Bible professor at Nyack College. All right, keep going. All right, here's what we got. Jeff Bean is tomorrow. If you were here this morning for who was here, it was a very powerful moment to hear
what some of our IWs go through and what they deal with, and what are some of the political landscapes that shape what our IWs do. So it was a very, very strong moment. And just, I would ask, pray for international workers in critical access spaces, because they need your prayers. They really do. And so thank you for all that give so generously to our GCF, but I would just say pray for your creative access international workers. All right, keep going. All right, there you go. There you have your Instagram. There's some great photos coming up. All right, go to the next one. Follow us on Facebook. Keep going. Oh, by the way, the thrift store got like brand new boxes of stuff. So they're telling me to tell you that go there. There's new items in there. New items. So go check it out. Which brings us to... All right, you got my music there for me, Mike? He says, wait a minute. Oh, Mike, that's like the best part. All right, while he's working on that, who wants to come on down? Who wants to come on up. Let's go. Come on down. Who we got? Franklin, come on down. Come on down. In the blue, come on down. All right. Mike, we don't have my theme music? He said... What, it's loading? All right, we're going to move on. All right, anyway. All right, for tonight, we have... Jeff, tell us about this item.
There she blows. Bring a splash of coastal charm to your home with this handcrafted driftwood whale. Featuring a weathered nautical finish, seaside style, this unique decor piece is sure to make waves wherever it's displayed. Back to you, Matt.
Thank you. All right. All right. So, all right. I want you to guess, if you were to find this on Etsy, what would the retail price going to be? All right, ready?
$25.
$25.
$19.97.
It's handcrafted, right?
It is handcrafted.
$43.72.
$43 and bing!
$19.99.
Retail price, $89.99. Oh, my God. I was talking to President Schaefer. Would you come up, please? There you go. He goes, I said, he wants to give a report from the field. I said, is it okay if we still do that? He goes, dude, the price is right, man. Here you go, brother.
It's great. By the way, this morning's Bible teaching by Ira, that was fantastic. And also, hearing from Jordan and Heather, are they here tonight? They weren't sure they'd be able to stick around. Very moving just to hear what God's doing in that part of the world. So we've been blessed. Mary and I have been really glad to be here. We are going to be at Chapel Point tomorrow for the morning and early afternoon, so I'm going to miss the wiffle ball game, but I'm eager to hear who wins that game. Anyhow, what's happening in the Christian Missionary Alliance? Now, if you're not a part of that family outside of Summit Grove, you might go, I'm wondering what it is. And but let me just tell you five reasons that we are encouraged right now about the Alliance. And if you're part of the Alliance and you're leaning in, thank you. We're excited what God is doing. Number one, the Alliance family is growing. Listen to this. In 2025, we had the most baptisms in our 140-year history of any year. That's amazing, isn't it? And there's so many. Every one of those numbers represents a story about what God is doing. Number two, God is stirring the hearts of youth. Life 2025. Did anybody go to Life 2025? All right. Some of you back here, excellent. So on the second last day maybe, they had this. They said, hey, if you sense that God might be tugging at your heart for some kind of vocational ministry, to be a pastor, to serve God overseas, then if you want to take time this afternoon, come to this one room. We're going to talk more about next steps. Or you can go ride the go-karts and play volleyball and all this other stuff. I'm like, if I'm in high school, what am I going to do? You know how many? I went to that room. You know how many people showed up? Over 800 youth. That was amazing to me. God is doing something. We're seeing that around the country. And that's, by the way, we need that because I've asked for numbers when I came in. 34% of our official workers are 60 and above. If you go 50 and above, that would be 57% of all of our official workers. We really need God to be raising up this rising generation. That's why all of the youth over here who are like average age, 15, you guys, that was fantastic. I love how God's raising you up. Number three, Mission Passion is going global. Five of the 60 partner Christian Missionary Alliance around the world are bigger than the U.S. Alliance. In other words, these five countries in Africa, Cote d'Ivoire, otherwise known as Ivory Coast, and Democratic Republic of Congo are both larger than the U.S. Alliance. In Asia, the Philippines, Indonesia, and the largest one in the world, anybody know? Vietnam, that's right. Vietnam is number one, largest alliance network in the world. And the other thing is that 29 of those networks are sending missionaries to the extent that those 29 countries now are sending more missionaries combined than the U.S. and Canada combined. That's a huge change that's happened in just the last 2 years. A couple of more things about that. The next slide here. This is in Peru just a few years ago. 100 years ago, in 1925, three missionaries showed up in Peru. And it was difficult, just tough sledding. They had no idea that 100 years later, in the capital city alone of Lima, Peru, there would be 85 Alliance churches, just in the capital city. And over 450 in the country, and today they're sending out over 40 missionaries. This was a gathering of Alliance people in Peru. Next. This is just all the different ways, not even all of them, just a sampling of how people are reaching out around the world, and so many good things happening. When you invest in the Alliance, you're making an investment that's going to touch lives for all of eternity. And here's the next one, that this is where we send 80% of our workers to the world's remaining unreached peoples. Typical mission in the U.S. will send 1% of their people to that area. For the Alliance, we sent 80% because we said that's where the least reached people exist. Next slide. So thank you. This is how the Alliance is funded, primarily by people saying, I want to be a part. I want to be a part of my local church, and I strongly emphasize that. And I also want to be a part of what God is doing around the world as we together are serving. There's about 650 Alliance missionaries serving in 70 different countries today. And then next one here, number four, we're looking more like family in heaven. We are now, in the last 2 years, have become a majority-minority denomination, which means I am now, people of my skin color are in the minority, and I think that is totally worth celebrating and just really cool. That's in the U.S. Alliance, just in the U.S. Alliance. In fact, this coming Sunday in U.S. Alliance churches, we'll worship in 38 different languages. In the last 8 weeks, Mary and I have been in 10 different languages in Alliance churches in the U.S. And one more thing, I just think it's really cool that the history of this place and New Freedom is because it's 1 mile north of the Mason-Dixon line, and former slaves would enslaved people would find freedom here and were ministered to by people in this camp. If you haven't read that story, it's in the lodge on the lower level. And then number five, churches in the U.S. are multiplying. We're expanding into communities that have limited gospel footprint. And last year, 374 churches said, hey, we're interested in starting a new church in the next 3 years. So God is doing some really cool things. And the whole goal is this. Last slide. It's all of Jesus for all the world. Your community, your neighborhoods, and the very nations of the world. So thanks for leaning in on that. And we serve a great Savior. And God is up to some really, really good things. I'm encouraged as I see what he's doing through the Alliance. If you see me around after the service tonight, tomorrow when I get back from Chapel Point, would be glad to interact, hear any comments, questions you have. And let's hear for the guy who almost lost his job but recovered it, for Matt. All right, Matt, that's great.
I'm going to invite the worship team, please, come back up and continue to lead us in the worship. We've been getting great compliments on how well you guys have been doing. This is their last night with us. Tomorrow, the youth will be leading our worship. So, the youth from our camp. Give praise to that. Are the youth from this camp is leading worship? Let's hear it again. But one last time, let's give it up for our worship team.
All right, let's stand together as we continue to worship tonight. Man, it's been such a great week together. Amen? Yeah? Who's had a good time out here? Come on. Can we give everyone a hand that's just been serving at this camp? All the food made, all the different events, all the different things going on. Just so grateful to just have spent relationship here. And like I said, you can just feel the grounds of this place saturated with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, of just the many years of worship and community that's taken place out here. With that, do you feel that? That's a really, like, beautiful thing. What a privilege to be able to experience that together on these grounds. Would love to just pray us back in for a second here. Lord, we thank you. You're so worthy of our praise. To be out here and to be surrounded by your creation and how you've created each and every one of us so intricately as sons and daughters of the King. We lift you up tonight, and we glorify you because you're worthy of praise. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Every breath that I am Here I am to worship. never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Come on.
Cries out to the Lord. Sing this out with us.
Oh, you are more than life to me. You are more than life to me. You are more than life to me.
Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy. give all worship to you. Keep meeting us here. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Thank you again, team, for leading us. And we do serve a good, good God. He's faithful to meet all of our needs. And we're going to ask him to meet our financial need tonight. Obviously, I'm up here, so that means we didn't last night. We're getting closer, but we still have a ways to go. So we're a little over $8,000 towards our $17,000 goal. So we're expecting a big night, hopefully tonight, to put a bow around the expenses for family camp and concentrate on the international workers for tomorrow night. But if we come up short tonight, we'll take two offerings tomorrow, one for general family camp expenses and one for our IW. So just a reminder, cash and checks in the bucket, checks made payable to Eastern PA District. You can also give online. Thank you. A lot of people have been finding that option, so feel free to give online too. Did have one question about that, like, oh, the online takes you to Summit Grove and you tell us to make Eastern PA checks to Eastern PA District. Yeah, a little confusing, but get out behind the scenes and give. Summit Grove gives a credit back to the district for the lodging and stuff, so it all works out. Summit Grove has a little nicer online giving platform than it is with the district, so it's been working, so it'll all be taken care of. Thank you for those that are leaving notes in there, too. I did find somebody that wanted to do offering for IWs. I caught that, so it'll go to the IWs. So if you do want to give online towards IWs, just make sure you put in the memo line, IWs, and you actually can give through the online giving if you'd like to do that as well. So I believe that is all for tonight. So once again, I will pray. Ushers will come forward, and when we start singing, the kids can be dismissed for their class as well. So, Father, we do bring tonight before you the need of family camp. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us for the $8,000 already, Lord, and we're trusting you for this final $9,000 to be able to meet all of our expenses for family camp this year. So we lay that down at your feet tonight. We do pray for a blessing, a supernatural blessing of $9,000 here tonight. So, Lord, we're trusting you for that. And we just want to give you all the glory for the results that we're going to see. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God at the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Stand with us if you're ready.
Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. It was great, your love was greater. So what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name. Thank you.
sing this with power tonight. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival. And you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory. And yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name.
Worthy of it. Come on. Lift a praise. Lift a shout. Lift something to the Lord because of what He's done. What He's done on the cross. He's finished it. It's done. It's done. Can you say, it's finished? It's finished. He's tore the veil. Death could not hold you. Come on.
The veil tore before you. The time is gone. I sin.
Truth in your heart.
The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory.
Come on.
For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival. And you have no equal. Now and forever. And yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory.
Nothing compares to this.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name.
Give him glory. Give him glory one more time. He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for works. He's just looking for your heart to come to him, just to come to him. Lord, we come to you. We come to you with what we have tonight. Would you meet us in it? We give it to you, Lord. You love us so deeply, and we feel your presence here. Thank you for how you're going to work tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated.
It is great to worship together, isn't it? Wow. Just what an altogether lovely, altogether worthy. And we're going to take communion a little bit. And as we sang, how could we ever know the cost of what Jesus has done for us? Hey, let me ask a question. Suppose we're sitting here worshiping, that all of a sudden you see coming across the lawn, you're like, what is that? I think that's Jesus. And he comes over, he sits next, like, what would you do if Jesus came and sat right next to you tonight? Bow down and worship. We just sang it, right? Bow down and worship. Yeah, here I am to, and I'll never know I'll never know how much it costs. You know, what else would you do? What if he asked you, what if he said, you know what can I do for you tonight? What would you ask him? If he said, you know, I have all power, you just sang how wonderful my name is, how powerful, you have no rival, no equal. Do you believe that? What would you like me to do for each other? What would you ask him? What would you ask Jesus for tonight? I want you to keep that in your mind. I think a lot of us would say, well, there's something that, I don't know if I could even talk to him, but if I did, I think I would talk to him about this. Maybe there's some kind of need or crisis in your life tonight. When Matt asked me, he said, hey, we're thinking about doing we're going to do a time of healing tomorrow night. And I said, Matt, I would love that. I think that's great. In fact, I'm going to shift my message because I would love for us to think about the healing power of Jesus, what he's able to do. I have to believe that in the decades of people gathering at Summit Grove, that there have been some really special things that have happened. But what if it could be for us tonight? What if it wouldn't just be like in the rearview mirror, like, did you know 27 years ago? What if we could say in 2026, I was there and God did something amazing? Do you think you can do that tonight? Because we don't have to wonder if Jesus might walk across. We already know that he's what? He's here, right? He's here with us tonight, and so we want to look to him. He is our... If you've been a part of an Alliance church, you know there's, when we talk about all of Jesus, we say he's our Savior, right? That he gave his life for us. We're going to take communion in a little bit. He's our what? Our sanctifier. He's the one who comes and lives within us. Like we actually become the temples of the living God. And he purifies us and transforms us from the inside out. So he's our Savior, our sanctifier. He's our what? Our healer. We can trust him tonight. That he's the same yesterday and forever. So who he was back then, there are 31 healing miracles in the Gospels. And Jesus is the same today as he was back then. We say, Lord, we're trusting you. And not only is our healer today, he's also our coming king. So we look forward to the day when Jesus tells us, he goes, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached as a testimony to all nations, the whole world, he says, then what will happen? The end will come. Then the end will come. So I want us to look tonight at that third one, that Jesus is our healer. And then we're going to have an opportunity after communion to just pray for one another. No item is too small. It might be a physical need. It could be something that's going on like in a relationship. It could be an emotional kind of trauma, wound that you've had. And you just say, if Jesus were to heal this, man, that I'd be telling that story for years to come. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is wrapping up his well-known Sermon on the Mount. In fact, you'll see in the last verse of chapter 7, it says that when he finishes his sermon, that the crowds are amazed because Jesus is so different from all of the other teachers. He taught as one who had authority like nobody else that they had heard. So we're not surprised in chapter 8, verse 1, as it says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Finishes his upper sermon. And in what might have happened in the same day as a sermon, Jesus encounters three people who have deep needs. And we get this wonderful window into his heart, his character, his power. And we see what happens when people come to him. Like, what happens when we come to him tonight? How does he respond? So let's look at these one at a time. First of all, starting in verse 2. The guy with a contagious skin condition, it says this, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let's just pause for a second. Put yourself in this guy's sandals. You've got lesions on your skin. You've got horribly swollen, you know, parts. Maybe you've lost a finger, whatever it might be. And you've, not only that, but you've also been to your family because you know the Old Testament law. When you have leprosy, you've got to quarantine from all the rest of the community. And when you would walk into town, you'd say, unclean, unclean. So this guy finds his way in and he makes his way. He hears that Jesus has come to town. And so he's like, well, what does it hurt? You know, I'm just going to go in and see if I can find this guy. And so he just says, Lord, he comes to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing. And what happens? Before this guy hears a response, he feels something that he hasn't felt in years, right? Because no one could touch him. Before he hears the word from Jesus, he feels the touch of a hand. It just shows the amazing compassion of Jesus and that Jesus, healing flows from Jesus. Sickness does not somehow infect him. And Jesus says, then I want to be healed. And just like that, this guy has this strange sensation throughout his body. And he looks at himself and he's got skin like the skin of a baby. Can hardly believe it's happening. And Jesus could have healed him from 10 feet away, from 10 miles away, but instead he touches him. Do you see the heart of Jesus? In Mark chapter 1, he describes the same encounter this way. He says, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the man. That's encounter number one. You see the compassion of Jesus. Second incident follows right on the heels of this. Verse 5, it says this, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. This is a very serious deal, right? The guy's paralyzed. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found faith in Israel, anyone in Israel with such great faith. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed when? At that moment. At that very moment, Jesus makes this incredible statement. He turns to the crowd. He says, I tell you, I've not found great faith anywhere in Israel, right? What he's saying is that this guy who's a non-Jew, he's part of the opposing team. He's saying this guy, a Gentile, has more faith than I've seen anybody in Israel. And it says that Jesus is amazed at this guy's faith. You know, in 89 chapters of the four Gospels, there's only two times that Jesus is amazed. A lot of times people are amazed at Jesus. Only two times that Jesus is amazed. One is in Mark chapter 6 when he's amazed, not by the strength of faith, but by what? By the lack of faith, people in his hometown. He's amazed by their lack of faith. The other time, the second time, is right here in Matthew chapter 8. He's amazed by this guy's faith. That this guy believes that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus doesn't have to be present with you, like in person, to heal. This guy knows that Jesus can speak a word and miles away, that his servant will be healed. And at the very moment he is. Here's what I wonder. As Jesus looks at the level of my faith, would he be amazed at the lack of my faith? Or would he be amazed at the strength of my faith? You know, the great thing is it just takes how much faith to move a mountain. A mustard seed of faith, right? So even if we say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, tonight he'll meet us. Third situation. We go on. This is verse 14, one final window to get a sense of Jesus' heart for people. Jesus and his followers are out, you know, they're doing ministry, and somebody comes and has a message for Peter. They're like, Peter, your mother-in-law is really ill. You got to come immediately. And he's like, my mother-in-law? No, I'm just kidding. He didn't get excited about that at all. He says, no, let's go. And Peter loved his mother-in-law, so they go and they go to the house. He can't come to them, so they go to him. And here's what happens. It says this, and that Jesus, he touches her hand and he heals her. You can read it there. And then Matthew in verse 17 makes a 700-year connection between what happened in Isaiah 53 and what happens in the healing ministry of Jesus. Look what he says here in verse 17. It says this, "This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." Matthew is saying what Jesus is doing here confirms the prophecy of Isaiah, that Jesus did not come only to heal us of our broken souls, but also of our broken bodies, right? He didn't just come to heal like the inside. He came to heal the whole person. And so he reversed the curse. Everything that went wrong in the garden, when Jesus comes and he hangs on a cross and said, it is what? Finished. It's finished. He meant that the work that he had come to do had been completed, and all that had gone wrong in the Garden of Eden was now in the process of being reversed, including sickness. That Jesus forgives, he empowers, he prays for us, he heals us, and nothing is too difficult for him. By the way, I think sometimes there can be confusion about how does he actually heal? Like, I don't always see it happen, so how do I sort of reconcile when I pray, and sometimes God works and sometimes he doesn't? There was an article written by in Christianity Today, written by a guy named Andrew Wilson, who's absolutely believes in the healing power of God. And the name of the article, in fact, was God Always Heals. God Always Heals. Now, interestingly, Andrew Wilson and his wife, he's a pastor in London, England. He and his wife have two children, and both of them have regressive autism. I'm sure they prayed over and over again for God to heal, for progress. Yet, even when change has not come, Andrew and his family are convinced that Jesus is able to heal. But Andrew summarizes in this article, he says, God heals in four ways. Let me just mention them. If you want to write them down, you can. But number one, our bodies repair themselves, right? There's something remarkable about the way that God made our bodies. A few years ago, I slid into third base. I love softball. I slid into third base. I was wearing shorts. It was a really dumb idea. And I just scraped all the skin right off my leg, side of my leg. And to make it worse, I was out. I was tagging up, you know, and I was terrible. But something amazing happens, right? I didn't go to the doctor. The body goes into action, forms a scab, starts manufacturing new skin, and before long, what happens? My leg is back to normal. The way that healing happens is that our bodies repair themselves. Secondly, Jesus heals through miracles. I mentioned 31 times in the Gospels, Jesus heals or delivers someone from sickness. And he just does it over and over again, like he does here in these situations, right? We're going to tell a few stories in just a couple of moments. But Jesus is powerful and present and able to heal. He works miracles. Number three, he works through the gift of medicine, the skill of a surgeon, the discoveries of, you know, anesthesia and all. There are things that we experience today. Our son was born with some major heart problems. And our son has had two open heart surgeries, both of them when he was a little boy. And if our son would have been born like 30 years earlier, he probably would not have survived. today we live in an age when God has just given us so many gifts of medicine. And so there's nothing wrong with saying, God, we're trusting you. All goodness comes from you. All truth is your truth. And so thank you for using doctors and pharmacists and caregivers and treatments to bring health to people. One more way that God heals is this. There will be no more sickness where? In heaven. He's going to declare no more, right? No more death. No more cancer. No more diabetes. No more dementia. It's going to be gone forever. In Romans chapter 8, we read this in verse 21 of Romans 8. With eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. There's going to come a day when Jesus declares no more and all sickness will be gone forever. So you could say it this way. For believers in Jesus, God never says no to a request for healing. He either says yes or not yet. Right? Either says yes or not yet. That's why the title of that article is God Always Heals. It's going to come a day when every single one of us will experience complete healing. We live in a broken world, and we might wonder, like, God, I don't really understand why you don't always heal the way I would like. You know, Jesus, in one chapter before Matthew 8, in chapter 7, you remember when Jesus says, keep on what? Asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And he says this, he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? Good gifts to those who ask him. So you know what we say is, Father, if it's good, we trust you will do what is best in your great wisdom. But we come. You know what I wonder? I wonder back in Matthew chapter 8, what if the guy with leprosy had been like, you know, I'm just embarrassed. I'm not going to go talk to Jesus. And what if it doesn't happen? And then he's like, or, you know. But he came. What if he had not come, though? I wonder if he would have gone back to his place that night and still has leprosy. I would imagine so. What about the Roman officer? What if he was like, yeah, I'm not Jewish. I'm sort of an outsider here. I don't know if it's going to happen. What if he had not come? I wonder if, would his servant have recovered? We don't know for sure. But what we do know is this. It was in their encounter with Jesus, through faith expressed by coming to him, that they experienced the healing touch of Jesus. We've been a part of a church like many of you where we've had times to pray with people. I'm going to invite Mary to come on up here. And Mary has been collecting stories of people who have both experienced God's healing touch or his sustaining grace in the midst of some difficult times. Why don't you share some of your favorite ones here? Yeah.
One of the things I love most in life is hearing how God is at work in people's lives. Don't you love to hear those stories? I picked just a few for you. There was a man at our church who had an aneurysm, aortic aneurysm, that had protrusions, and it needed to be surgically wrapped. So the surgery date was all set. They got up that morning. They went to the hospital. And they wanted to do one last CAT scan just to be sure, you know, of the extent and whatnot of this issue that he had. So they did the CAT scan, and don't you know, those protrusions were gone. Gone. They sent him home. God had healed him. Another man at our church, Bob, had cancer and had started chemo. So one Sunday morning, he stopped me in the lobby, and he told me that he had asked for prayer, and our team had prayed for him. That week, his doctor called him at home and said, you know, that's kind of scary when you get the phone call from the doctor at home, and said, Bob, I have two patients I've been concerned about, and you are one of those two. He said, Bob, you're nothing short of a miracle. I just can't get over how well you're doing. And Bob said, Doctor, it's because of prayer. People are praying for me. There was a woman at council a few years ago who had some type of digestive issue. She had not been able to eat for 4 years. As people prayed for her, she felt something happening in her abdomen. She knew that she was healed. So she got up the next morning. She ate granola for breakfast. And for lunch, she had General Chow's chicken. And she was great. God touched her and healed her. Another council healing. There's a young woman we know. She's in her late 20s. And she started having some health issues. So she went in, she had some testing done, and she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, just in her 20s. Testing showed that she had 2 lesions on her brain and 1 on her spine. So at council last year, she asked for prayer. 3 months later, she had an appointment at a hospital in Nashville that specializes in multiple sclerosis. They did 2.5 hours of testing, a long series of MRIs. The doctor came into her room to give her the report. The lesion on her spine had diminished and the 2 on her brain had disappeared. This is one of the pastors at our church. He had a 14-year-old granddaughter who had developed a rare chronic pain condition. She said that on a scale of 1 to 10, her pain was a 10 plus. The pain would move around her body to different parts of her body, and it was so bad that she often couldn't walk. She used crutches, sometimes she needed a wheelchair, and many days she was just in too much pain to even go to school. Her family prayed for her. They prayed for her many times, and it just seemed to be getting worse. Well, after 8 months, one day, a friend called and prayed for her over the phone. They were on their way home from a PT appointment. She said that as they prayed, she started to feel the pain melt away. When they arrived home, she realized that her pain was so much better, she no longer needed her crutches. She walked into the house, and our friend, our pastor friend, sent us a video of his granddaughter with a huge smile on her face, some tears in her eyes, and she was walking the stairs of her house. God healed her. I got this email from a woman in my small group. She said, I have been headache-free ever since you prayed for me. There's nothing short of a miracle. Praise God. The headaches were daily and never went away completely despite every possible remedy. At the time that I mentioned it and you all prayed, it had gotten to the point where they were getting worse in the middle of the night. I was sleeping, trying to sleep, but they kept waking me up. The pain was so bad that I couldn't even lie down anymore. I would get up anywhere between 2 and 4 a.m. with such fear and anxiety. Now, since you prayed, I haven't had the slightest twinge of a headache in 2 weeks. God healed her. And then there are those stories, if you were here for Bible hour this morning, where the 3 friends, when they went into the fire, do you remember what they said? Even if, and here's an even if story. A friend of ours at our church had some type of a digestive illness that it stumped even the doctors at the Cleveland Clinic. She had more than 20 major surgeries. She lived in constant pain. She had severe nausea, lots of limitations in life. She had a feeding tube, a G-tube that was just her constant companion. She wasn't able to continue on in her job because of her pain and her medical treatment, which, of course, led to some financial issues. And so here's the email that she wrote to me. Yes, my surgeries have been incredibly challenging for me and my family, but God is so much bigger, and my faith has gone through the sky and into heaven through it all. I've learned what it feels like to go through a dark, painful journey while simultaneously feeling incredible love and peace and joy in the Lord. And then she said this, if I had to choose perfect health or my trials, I would choose to go through my trials again because of the spiritual treasures I found in the Lord, even if.
It's great. Thank you, Mary. Some of you know the pastor. There's two Tim Kellers, one who was in this district, great guy, and there's another Tim Keller who was in New York City and wrote a book about a number of books, but died of pancreatic cancer. But here's what Tim wrote about asking God for something and then not getting what you asked for. He said this. He said, as I look back, he said, God was saying, son, when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything that I know. Hear what he's saying? If I could see the bigger picture like the Father sees the bigger picture, I would have asked for exactly what God chose to give. God is saying, son, my daughter, when a child of mine asks a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything that I know. And yet we still ask, right? Because we say, God, we don't know what your best gift is, but if, God, if you would choose to give healing in some way, Lord, we would love to see that. We had lunch with someone today who talked about how God gave them children years after they thought, man, we're not going to have our own children. And God answered. And we've seen him work in other ways, as Mary has said. Friends, do you believe Jesus is here with us tonight? Absolutely. He loves us. He loves you. He knows you. He's aware of your needs. And today, we can stand on Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who Jesus was when he taught as one who had authority and healed as one with authority is the same Savior he is today. And what he accomplished in the towns of Israel and all throughout, he can do at Summit Grove tonight in New Freedom, Pennsylvania. So let's look to him together. I'm going to invite you to take your communion cup, because we come to him on the basis that if God is for us, who can be against us? If he was willing to give his only son, is there anything that he will not be willing to give us? So we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for reversing the curse. If you didn't get one of these cups, Matt's coming. Just sort of keep your hand up and he'll get you one. But I think you know the drill on these. You take off the little plastic film part on top and you'll have the wafer. And we'll take that in just a moment. But let me pray. You can keep your hand up still if you need Matt to get you one of these elements. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to go to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you became sin for us. You who knew no sin so that we could become right with our Father in heaven. And so, Lord Jesus, tonight we ask, would you cleanse us from any impurity in our lives? Would you wash us, Lord? Make our hearts clean. Thank you that when we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for doing that again tonight. When you're ready and you've just allowed the Lord to deal with any sin, would you just tell him, say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and you take the bread when you're ready. Jesus, we thank you on the night you were betrayed. The night you were betrayed, you knew that your followers would desert you, deny you, betray you. And yet on the night you were betrayed, you took bread, and when you had given thanks, you broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this whenever you eat it to remember me. And then in the same way, after supper, you took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me. Friends, there were very few things that Jesus instituted as practices, but this was one. He never has to forget. So would you just prepare to take this cup And would you repeat after me the words of Paul? Would you say this? Jesus, you loved me and gave yourself for me. One more time. Jesus, you loved me and gave yourself for me. And I'm so grateful. Let's take the cup together. Jesus, what a great Savior you are. Thank you that there's no sin too great, no sin too far in the distant past, no sin that you ever look and say, not that one. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for making us your own and adopting us as your family. And Jesus, as we now come to you together, as you invite us and say, is anyone sick? That we can anoint with oil in your powerful name and just ask that your healing touch would rest upon the people that we know and love. So, Lord, do something tonight that we'll just go, wow, only God. And so we come with your authority, with your presence, with an assurance of your promises and power, and we come to you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing us and being with us tonight. Here's what we're going to do. We have some people who are going to be at different stations. In fact, if you're one of those, would you just go to your station right now? I sort of gave some assignments. And they each will have a little vial of oil. And you can just, in a moment, we're going to invite you to go to one of these stations. And they'll say, what would you like Jesus to do for you? And they might give a promise from God's Word or some kind of encouragement. And then they're going to pray for you, and if it's appropriate, they'll just put a little touch of oil on your forehead as Jesus invites us to do. And we'll trust him together, okay? So the team's going to lead us here in some worship and just help our faith to rise up and to trust him. And you feel free to go to one of these places. And if you see someone go to a place, you're like, oh my goodness, we just talk together, or either from my church family. You feel free to go and join that circle. But let's stand up together right now. And don't be shy. If you have any kind of need in your life, or for someone you love, think of that Roman centurion who said, I'm coming on behalf of a servant. You might have someone who's back at home or hundreds of miles away. Jesus sees them. He knows them. And he can work in their life tonight, too. So you feel free to go to one of these people. Let's trust him together. He is our healer. Thank you.
I've heard stories that have proved your faithfulness. I've seen miracles my mind can comprehend. There is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder working God. You're the wonder working God. All the miracles I've seen, it's too good to not believe. You're the wonder working God. And because you love, all the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Good to not believe, too good to not believe. I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. So all the glory to the only one who can. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe in the wonder working God.
There's power when we sing. As the Lord inhabits our praises, as He takes our worship, it's not just lifted up from us to Him. These words wash over each other as you stand by side. People are in front of you and behind you. See, when you sing these songs of faith and sing them with faith, this trust rises back up in others. Belief rises back up in others. And the power in that the Lord can press into means so much. So especially in a moment like this, as we sing this next part, all the things we've seen that the Lord has done, healing cancer, healing relationships, would you just lift that up as declarations around this room as people are prayed for tonight? There's power in these declarations. There's power in the name of Jesus. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen anger and pain dissolve. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you think He can't do it? I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Don't you tell me He can't do it. Cancer disappear. I've seen anger and pain dissolve. Yes, I know that He can do it. Yes, I know that He can do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Yes, I know that He can do it. Yes, I know that He can do it. I've seen families dream.
Believe in your healing and resurrecting power tonight, Lord. I just pray that we would be able to declare this over this whole world, that Jesus is our healer, that he's everything we need. We don't need anything but you, Lord. Let's be reminded that everything bows at the name of Jesus. Sickness, disease, brokenness, broken relationships, broken families. Lord, that everything bows at your name in this space. Let's sing that. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Jesus is my healer. He's everything I need. He alone has triumph over sickness and disease. Fear, where is your power? Oh, the cross is your defeat. Jesus is my healer. He has won the victory. Jesus is my healer. He's everything I need. He alone has triumph over sickness and disease. Fear, where is your power? Oh, the cross is your defeat. Jesus is my healer. He has won the victory. Jesus is my healer. He has won the victory.
Just as we continue this time right now, let's just really open this space up. Just a free space of worship. If you'd rather stand, kneel, move around the room and pray, or pray for each other, if you feel called to do that right now, would you just do it without any fear? Just feel free to move around the room that way. And there's even space up here in the front. If you felt like you wanted to kneel and pray, I invite you to come do that. Just start praying out. Just start reaching out for our God. And for each other. Feel free to move around. Let's make space for them. Lord, have your way.
Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows.
bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, dark chains, break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains, break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains, break at the name of Jesus. Jesus is my healer. He's everything I need. He alone has triumphed over sickness and disease. Fear, where is your power? Oh, the cross is your defeat. Jesus is my healer. He has won the victory. Jesus is my healer. He's everything I need. He alone has triumphed over sickness and disease. Jesus is my healer. He has won the victory. Jesus is my healer. He has won the victory.
Yellow.
Test one, two.
As we close our time tonight, if you haven't gone to the stations, they are open for you. There is work happening here. The power of God is being displayed here among us. So these stations are open for you. We're going to linger a little bit longer. The band's going to play just a little bit more. But do not miss the opportunity that, I mean, I wish I should have went 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock tonight. Do the work now. And don't miss an opportunity for God to meet you in this space and in this place. But you are dismissed. But I would ask that you respectfully just be mindful of those who are still praying. Be blessed, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains, break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains, break at the name of Jesus. Everything bows at his name. Everything bows at his name. Sickness, darkness, chains, break at the name of Jesus. Jesus is my healer. He's everything.
Jesus is my healer. He has won.